The top story by engagement on HN today scored 332 points with 192 comments is a blog post titled "The Bottleneck Might Be the Air in the Room," which links to a piece by Mike Bowler about CO2 levels and decision-making. And Marcus, I want to spend real time on this because the HN thread turned into one of those rare discussions where people from completely different fields, building engineers, neuroscientists, office managers, remote workers, all converged on the same uncomfortable conclusion.
Which is what exactly?
That indoor CO2 concentrations in typical office environments, meeting rooms, and classrooms routinely reach levels where cognitive performance measurably degrades. The research Bowler cites shows that at around 1,000 parts per million, which is not unusual for a poorly ventilated conference room after an hour of occupancy, decision-making quality drops by roughly 15% compared to a well-ventilated baseline near 550 p.m. At 2,500 ppm, which you can hit in a packed room with bad airflow, the degradation in complex strategic thinking approaches 50% in some studies.
So half your cognitive capacity for complex decisions just from the air. The practical implications for business are striking. How many board meetings, hiring decisions, product strategy sessions happen in exactly those conditions? Sealed conference rooms, full of people, running long. And we just attribute the bad decisions to bad judgment.
Or bad people. The HN commenters were also pointing out that CO2 is easy to measure. You can buy a decent monitor for under $50, and yet it's essentially never part of office management conversations. One commenter, an HVAC engineer, noted that building codes set ventilation minimums based on odor control, not cognitive performance. Those are completely different thresholds.
This connects to a broader story that was also trending today, the Marginalia post titled, "Maybe You Should Learn Something," which is a thoughtful essay about the conditions under which genuine learning actually occurs. The author makes the case that deep learning requires a kind of deliberate, uncomfortable engagement with material that modern productivity culture actively discourages. And if we layer the CO2 research on top of that, you start to wonder how much of what we call learning environments are actually physiologically hostile to learning.
The Marginalia essay struck me because it's not anti-technology. It's not a put-down-your-phone screed. It's making a more subtle argument that the act of synthesis, pulling disparate ideas together into something new, requires a different cognitive mode than analysis, which is about breaking things apart. The author is essentially arguing that we're very good at teaching analysis and almost entirely neglecting synthesis as a skill.
Which dovetails perfectly with the "synthesis is harder than analysis" piece from Surfing Complexity that also hit the front page today. That post argues that analysis is fundamentally about reduction. You take a complex thing and find its components. Synthesis is about construction. You take separate things and build something that didn't exist before. And the reason synthesis is harder isn't just cognitive, it's also evaluative. When you analyze, you have the original thing as a reference point. When you synthesize, you're creating the reference point as you go.
There's also a lovely historical piece in today's lineup that speaks to this idea of knowledge transmission across time, the Mir Books Project, which is digitizing and freely distributing books published by Mir publishers during the Soviet era. Mir was the USSR's primary scientific and technical publisher, and they produced extraordinarily high-quality translations of advanced mathematics, physics, chemistry, and engineering textbooks, books that Soviet engineers and scientists used to build spacecraft, design nuclear reactors, develop software.
And these books have been essentially inaccessible for decades. Out of print, no digital versions, copyright status murky. The Mir Books Project has been working to surface them, and the HN community responded warmly, with commenters sharing memories of learning from these books in the 1980s and 1990s across Eastern Europe, India, and elsewhere. There's something genuinely moving about that, scientific knowledge that shaped a generation of engineers, now being recovered.
The Applied Category Theory course from UC Riverside also appeared today. It's from 2018 by John Bays. But it resurfaces periodically because it's considered one of the best accessible introductions to a branch of mathematics that's become increasingly relevant to programming language theory, type systems, and AI. David Beasley's programming courses also trended, which is a reminder that the HN community has a deep appreciation for educators who take difficult material seriously.
The theme running through all of this is that learning, real, durable, generative learning, is hard, requires good conditions, and is worth protecting. Whether that's ventilated rooms, honest pedagogy, or preserved textbooks,